Hey guys, thank you for tuning in today. You know, this message that you're about to hear, I pray that it not only inspires you, but encourages you to follow Jesus even more. In fact, there are probably people in your life who need to hear this timely word, and chances are you're thinking about them right now. So share this message with them. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to hit subscribe. I also want to thank all those who support us. We wouldn't have any ministry outside these four walls if it weren't for our friends who come alongside us in prayer and support us financially. There are thousands who are benefited by this ministry because of your giving, and we thank you. To continue or even start supporting our mission to help others and their families follow Jesus, you can give by visiting cfmiami.org/give. Enjoy the sermon.
Hey, everybody. Hey. I mean, isn't it great to start off the new year telling our soul, get up and praise the Lord, amen? Come on, let's give him a shout of praise. Hey, well, welcome everyone. Happy New Year. It is great to be here worshiping together today. Welcome everyone out of our campuses. My name is Omar, and I have the honor and the privilege of serving as lead pastor here at Christ Fellowship. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys. And today we're going to be diving into God's word, and we're really going to kind of start setting ourselves up for this whole year so that we can grow spiritually. And so I'm looking forward to sharing a word with you from God's word. But before we do that, I want to give you all an update on our Christmas offering. You know, as you recall, our Christmas offering was called for our children, and everything that we would be able to collect would go towards renovating our CF Kids facilities locally and also in our global campuses. In addition, we are looking to expand Christ Fellowship Academy into a middle school, the Palmetto Bay campus, in the future, as well as create the infrastructure to start spreading Christ Fellowship Academies throughout Miami-Dade County. And if you recall also, the goal that we were trying to achieve was $451,000. Y'all remember that, yeah? And so do y'all wanna know how much you all gave for our children? You all wanna know? Yeah. You all really wanna know? Yeah. Can we get a little drum roll? Can we get a little quick drum roll? Yeah, all right. You guys ready? Listen, God, through you, we were able to do over $511,000, yeah. Man, praise God. Man, praise the Lord. And you know, when I heard that number, I'm like, I first praise God because I'm like, my goodness, you are faithful God, you always provide, but I also thank the Lord for your faithfulness. Because listen, so many of you realize, listen, that what you have is not yours, right? We don't own anything. Ultimately, everything we have, we're just stewards of what God has given to us for a short period of time on this earth. And so many of you recognize that, and you gave generously. And listen, you gave so that future generations could worship God. And for the next several decades, our kids' ministries will be ready to receive thousands of children to hear about the Lord. Amen. And so thank you for being so generous. Listen, I am so proud to be part of a church family. Listen, that puts the kingdom of God first in their life. Amen. So thank you for your generosity. Well, with all that being said, let's dive into God's word today. If you have your Bibles, go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13. We'll get back to the Old Testament through the book of Exodus next week, which you'll hear about a little later. But today, I'll be teaching from Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. And wherever you find yourself, you can follow along with me as I read, all right? Let's do what God's word says. It says, therefore, my beloved, those who are loved by God, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out. Everyone say, work out. Yeah, everyone say, work out. Yeah, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. In other words, God wants us, as we mature in our faith, to work out, right? To work out our salvation or find our spiritual rhythm, this year, right? As we grow and mature in our walk with the Lord, all right? Amen? That is God's word. You can go and take a seat, everybody, at all campuses. And folks, let me start off by sharing this with you. You know, last March for our anniversary, Ashley and I decided to take a trip to Colorado. And one of the things that I knew that I wanted to do while we were there was to snowboard. I've snowboarded in the past. So I said, you know what? I want to give it again a shot. I want to snowboard once again. And my wife, even though she had never snowboarded before, she said, you know what? I want to give it a shot. And so, in order to preserve a healthy marriage, right, we got her a snowboard instructor because, you know, me trying to teach her, that was not going to be easy. So anyway, so we got her a snowboard instructor, and for the first and second day, she got lessons and she began to learn the fundamentals of snowboarding. And in those 2 days, her instructor was helping understand all the important, all the fundamental things that she needed to know in order to be able to learn how to snowboard. So then came the day for us to snowboard together. And folks, I wish I could tell you it was an amazing day where all day we were going down the mountain and it was so much fun, but folks, not quite. Because by her own admission, listen, learning how to snowboard is hard. And the poor thing, listen, as we got together, we started going down the slope, she took a couple of really hard falls. In fact, right behind those goggles, there were tears of pain by poor Ashley, right? And so she took a couple hard falls. And so as she was going through the slope, now that I was kind of with her, I was trying to coach her on how to snowboard, on how I do it. And I got to admit, it was hard. It was hard for me to put into words how it was that I could snowboard so well until it dawned on me that after getting all the fundamentals, all right, of snowboarding, after understanding all the fundamentals of snowboarding, the key to snowboarding is then finding your rhythm. You see, once you have all that knowledge, then you have to put that knowledge into practice. And the more that you do it, you start finding little by little, right? You start finding your rhythm in the way that you snowboard. And folks, here's what's interesting. Once you got the rhythm of snowboarding, the moment you fall out of that rhythm is when you take another hard hit. And so here's the beautiful thing. Once you find your snowboard rhythm and you get the hang of it, is a beautiful thing, and you have so, so much fun. In fact, just take a look at this video. Yeah, that was an actual video of me and Ashley snowboarding at the end of that trip. Nah. I wish. Maybe someday. Yeah. But folks, let me just bring that over to our teaching for today because, listen, what an example of our spiritual life. And by that, I mean that just like after getting all the fundamentals of snowboarding in your mind, there has to be a moment that you put that into practice until you find your rhythm, right? Just like that. Listen, here's the main idea for today. After understanding all the fundamentals of the Christian faith, right? The only way that you will mature, the only way that you would grow in your walk with Christ is if you find a spiritual rhythm in your life. And unfortunately, there's so many people that come to know Christ as their Savior, and they learn early on the fundamentals of the Christian faith, right? Just the basic teachings of the Christian faith, but they never really grow and mature in their walk with the Lord, and because they've never found their spiritual rhythm. In fact, maybe they've been believers 10 years, 5 years, you know, maybe a year, but what happens is because they never really find the rhythm, they never grow spiritually. Sure, they do spiritual things sporadically. Oh, they come to church once every several weeks or every couple months. Oh, they may attend just a random Bible study. Oh, they may just read God's word here and there. But the reality is that there is no consistent rhythm in their life. And because of it, they are stagnant in their Christian walk. In fact, who knows, maybe I'm today describing you. Maybe you came to know the Lord for a while back, a year, 5 years, 10 years back. And you've been coming to church with your family, and you see everybody growing, your children, your spouse, you see them growing, but when you look at your life, you haven't matured, you haven't grown the way that you should have been growing in the Lord. There's something in you perhaps now as you start this brand new, says, you know what, I'm tired of being stagnant in my Christian walk. I look back at my life and I really haven't grown. I don't know more scripture than I did 5 years ago or a year ago or 6 months ago. So Omar, what do I need to know so that this year as we start 2024, I can find my spiritual rhythm and grow and mature in the Lord? Well, folks, we're gonna find out today from Philippians chapter 2, all right? So if you have your Bibles on our campuses, go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 2. And folks, today I have two thoughts for us about what we need to know up to spiritually grow this year. Christ Fellowship, are you ready to dive into God's word this new year? Come on, let me hear you. Yeah. So write this down as point number one at all campuses. Here we go. The first thing we need to remember is that spiritual rhythms are essential to your spiritual growth and maturity. Now listen to what God's word says. It says, therefore, my beloved, and I love when God's word says that, right? Therefore, those of you who are loved by God, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, what are the next two words? Come on. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, folks, stop right there for a moment and slip into the scene. Because the Apostle Paul here is writing to the church in Philippi, which is located in modern day Greece. And so this church was very dear to his heart because this church, the people here, not only really loved the Lord, they had a beautiful love for the Lord, but they were the first church in the Mediterranean that partnered with Paul financially, and they were the first church that gave so the gospel could spread through all of Europe. And so the church of Philippi was a beautiful, wonderful church. And so when Paul was there, he began to taught them the essential, fundamental truths of the Christian faith. But then when he had to travel into other churches, his main concern as he left them was that they would continue to mature and grow in their walk with the Lord. And so he tells them in the verse that we read, to work out your salvation. Now, what does it mean to work out? Because it kind of almost sounds like we are working for our salvation. But folks, we know that's not the case because one of the key doctrinal truths of the Christian faith is that we are not saved by our works, by what we do. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for by grace you have been saved through what? Through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of what? Works, right? So that no one may boast in the presence of God. Which therefore, it means that it doesn't matter how many times you come to church. It does not matter how many good things you do in your life. It does not matter how much you give. It does not matter what infant ritual your parents had you through or some adolescent tradition. Listen, you can do all those things the rest of your life and never be saved. Because the only way to be right with God, The only way to obtain forgiveness of sin, the only way to have a relationship with God is by faith and by faith and alone. And the church says what? Amen. So now that we understand that, what does that mean that we are to work out our salvation? Well, what Paul's referring to is that now that you're saved by faith and you are saved, now you need to start working out this new life in Christ. Now, one side of that coin of what that means to work out is simply obedience in resisting things that do not honor God, right? So, you know, there's things in God's word that God tells us, this does not honor me, resist and flee those things, right? So there's that aspect of working out our salvation. The other side of it is when we do things, when we strive to grow and to mature in our walk with the Lord. And so, and what I'm gonna call those things that we do today is what we call, many people call them spiritual disciplines, but today I'm gonna call them spiritual rhythms, all right? And here's what a spiritual rhythm is. Write this down, letter A. Spiritual rhythms are consistent actions that enable you to mature in your faith. So just a refresher for those of us maybe who are brand new, so we understand what this means. I've categorized into two sections. One of them is personal spiritual rhythms. I'm gonna give you just a quick list of what I mean by that. So for example, the first one could be reading God's word. These are things that you do personally, consistency. And let me tell you something. Reading God's word is the most important thing that you can do in your Christian life. Let me make that very clear. Reading God's word on your own is the most important thing you could ever do in your Christian walk. The second thing is meditating on God's word. Moments where you stop and you reflect on certain theological truths. Another one could be also praying. For example, that's when we just talk to our Heavenly Father. Not to a pastor, not to a priest. Listen, we talk to our Heavenly Father because of what Christ has done for us. Another spiritual habit is confessing sin. You know, there's moments that in your life when you know you've sinned before God, you confess those things to God in your own life. And there's moments that you may have to confess those sins to other people as well. But confessing sin is a key component of our spiritual life. And then lastly, personally, is fasting. And fasting is just a moment in your life, a season in your life where you abstain from food or something else in order to pursue the Lord in a very special way. And so those are personal, right, things on your own that the actions that you do, right, in order to mature. Now there's corporate spiritual rhythms. When I say corporate, not like a corporation, so you know it, but as a body of Christ, a corporate body of Christ, these are some of the things that we do together. For example, we gather for Sunday worship. Right? What we're doing right now, the people of God are coming today to not only sing songs of worship, but to receive God's word together. Amen? Second, for example, is gathering for small group Bible study. It's when you meet together midweek to not only study God's word, but fellowship, have a great time with other believers in a smaller context, and that's also critical of your walk with the Lord. The third could be also serving in a ministry team. We see from God's word that God has given all of us a talent or ability in order to serve one another and build up the church. That is the purpose of the giftings that God has given to you. Other ones could be sharing the gospel, right? We talk about having gospel conversations with people in your life, whether it's an old friend of yours, a family member, that person at Publix, that cashier, give them a little invite card, whatever that case may be. It's having those gospel conversations with the people in your life. And the last but not least, which could be personal and corporate, is giving generously, right? Part of our walk with the Lord is that out of everything that God gives to us, right, we then respond and give back to Him, and He gives back to us, and it's just part of our relationship and our walk with the Lord. Now, folks, the reason that I stress the word rhythm is because a spiritual discipline could almost seem like a one-time thing. But a spiritual rhythm is when it's a pattern in your life that you're doing the same things over and over consistently in your life. And folks, it is, right? And this is why I think the Apostle Paul used the word work out, because the word work out in the original Greek has the emphasis of a habitual pattern in your life, right? You know, no one goes to the gym, literally lifts up one weight one time and said, I am working out. No one does that, right? There's repetition and you go back and you do it, right? It carries that notion of consistent action. And so listen, if you want to grow in this year in your walk with the Lord, these spiritual rhythms must be present in your life. And family, here is what you need to know and remember when you think of these different actions. Write this down, letter B. Spiritual rhythms place you in environments, keyword environments, where God transforms you. Now, folks, listen carefully to what that verse says. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is who? You could do better than that. What is it? Yeah, for it is not you, but God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And so, folks, do not miss this, because every single time that you engage in the spiritual rhythms in your life, what you are essentially doing, don't miss this, is that you are positioning yourself in an environment for God to transform you. And folks, the reason that I stress those words so much is because somewhere along the way, we can view these actions as a way that we ourselves are forcing us to grow on their own power. You know, and what happens is oftentimes people at times when they have that mentality, they get turned off of the things of God. So for example, you know, now as we start this brand new year, we know how it works, right? The gyms are packed. Everyone wants to go to the gym. I got to lose my weight. I got to look better, right? Everyone starts going to the gym. And what happens, everyone's super excited at the beginning and they're working out in whichever way. But there's a mentality, it's like, oh, I got to go to the gym. And once you go to the gym, I got to start doing all these crazy things and these push-ups and all these different things and running and doing all these different things. And you think, the more I push myself, the more I put my own power, the more that I'm going to transform my body. But guess what? People approach you with a negative mindset. And that's why a few weeks later, I don't want to go to that gym anymore and do some crazy things. I feel like I'm wasting my time. And sometimes I think we carry that same mentality to the things of God. We start thinking, oh, I got to force myself to go to church in the morning. Oh, I got to read God's word. Oh, I got to do this. Guess what? You're creating a type of mentality that is inaccurate, because now you're thinking, my own power, I got to force myself. I got to do this to grow myself. When in reality, it's not you doing anything ultimately. It is God, the one that through his spirit is maturing you. Amen? You see, when you place yourself in the right environments, God has a way through his spirit to begin to mature you. So for example, let me just give you some quick examples. You know, when you wake up in the morning, for example, and you go to wherever it is that you read God's word, and you sit down, right, and you open up God's word, you are, in a sense, positioning yourself in a place where God can transform you. I mean, just opening God's word, and you'll see that the moment you start opening God's word and just simply reading, God begins to do a work in your life. If this Bible is closed and you never read it, you can sit anywhere in your house and God's not going to transform you. But the moment you pick up, even if it's for 15 minutes a day, whatever you are able to do that day, and you open up God's word and you just start simply reading, you place yourself in an environment where God begins to mature you and to grow you. When you start praying, right, what's happening in a sense, even as you pray, is that you're maturing. Why? Because as you pray for God's will to be done in your life and you pray and talking to your Heavenly Father, he begins to mold your heart more into the image of his Son. If you talk to your coworker, or to your friend early morning, God's not transforming you there. But when you talk to God, you place yourself in a position and an environment for God to transform you. So for example, when you come and you start and you go to small group, right, and you sit down in your Bible study midweek, what happens, the moment you sit down and you have other believers around you, Something happens that as you start reading God's word and talking and laughing, God in the midst of that environment is maturing you and is growing you. So for example, when you serve here at church, you know, yeah, you may be, you know, maybe hand in green someone, or you might be in kids ministry or whatever the kids may be, and you're doing little things here and there. But what's happening is that you're putting yourself in an environment where you are serving other people just like your Lord served you. And even when you give, listen, every time that you give, listen, we see in scripture how God is a generous God, right? For he who was rich became poor, so that we who were poor may become rich in him, amen? For God so loved the world that he gave, not charged you, he gave his only son for you. And so what we see is that the heart of God, he is a generous God. So when we follow and we receive and we give, right? Because whatever, as you give, you are molding your heart more and more to the heart of God, amen? And so spiritual rhythms are simply a moment, a place where you are simply positioning yourself for God to work in your life. But folks, here's what's important to remember. If you want to start spiritual rhythms, what's important to remember, here it is. Write this down. It's big number two. The spiritual rhythms start with the fear of God. Now, you may be thinking, oh, what do you mean by the fear of God? What do you mean by that? Well, folks, listen carefully to what God's word says. It says, work out, do your spiritual rhythm, pursue the Lord, grow. Work out your own salvation with, what are the next two words? Fear and what? Fear and trembling. Now, some may try to explain, oh, it doesn't mean fear. It doesn't mean fear like fear you think. No, it just means a healthy respect for God. Listen carefully, when you go to God's word, that's not what it means. The word fear in the original text is the Greek word phobos, which comes from the English word phobia, and tremble, it comes from the Greek word trombos, which means to tremble. And so it means exactly what it sounds like, fear and trembling. And you see, here's what you need to understand. The fear of God in your life, it's an important part in your walk with the Lord. And so let me help you how that works. So for example, many of you here are in Christ, right? You have a relationship with Christ, you're abiding with Christ. You know, you are in the Lord, right? You're saved. But guess what? That what led you to Christ initially was the fear of God. You see, the fear of God leads us to Christ. Why? When you recognize how good and holy and righteous God truly is, and you start recognizing, my God, I've sinned before God, and I've rebelled against God, I've rejected God, I've done things that do not honor God. And when you realize that what you and I deserve for our sin is eternal death separated from God. Why? We are sinful man and he is holy God. When we truly understand what we deserve for our sin, right? And that God through Christ and his sacrifice on the cross offers us forgiveness of sin, the fear of God, wanting forgiveness, wanting God, wanting to be reconciled with God, leads us to Christ. We give our faith, we put our trust and faith in Christ, we surrender our lives to Christ, right? And we start a personal relationship with God. So if you're here and you're brand new and you're wondering, how can I start a relationship with God? So simple. Come to him in faith. Put your faith and trust on what Christ did for you at the cross. Amen? But listen, once you are, here's the thing. Once you are in Christ and you are in a relationship with the Lord, at that juncture, the fear of God still has a play in your life. It's a little different, but it's still important. See, if the fear of God led us to Christ, the fear of God now keeps us close to Christ. You see, there should be fear in a child of God's heart, not that we fear our Heavenly Father, but that we fear ever straying away from our Heavenly Father. You know, my children, there's been a few moments where I've seen them in a store that way they kind of lose sight of me, and you can start seeing the panic, the fear, you've seen it maybe in your old children, right? When they kind of realize they're lost, why they start fearing, because they don't want to be away from their father, whether they're from their mother. Same thing with us. There should be a fear in our lives that we should ever stray away from the God who saved us. Amen? And here's the thing. Some of us have lost that fear of God and strayed because somewhere along the line, you think you are stronger than you really are. The truth of the matter is that we know that the moment that we see Christ face to face, and when this life ends and we see him in the future, we're going to get these glorified bodies. We're no longer going to have a sinful nature, right? And so that's the oldest past and the newest come, and it's going to be a whole different life for us. But what you need to understand is that even though you are saved and nothing could ever change that, until that point, we still have a sinful nature, right? We still have our sinful flesh. And that sinful flesh, even though it can never lose its salvation, it could stray a little far away from God, right? And so what's happened for so many of us, perhaps, is that we've lost the fear of God, the fear of ever wandering away from God. You've become lazy in your walk with the Lord. And now, guess what? You reap what you sow. No wonder your family's in that state. No wonder relationships in your life are crumbling. No wonder you've lost the joy of your salvation. No wonder you're always discouraged. No wonder all these things are happening in your life. Why? Because somewhere along the line, you thought you were strong enough. You don't really need Christ. And so you kind of just started neglecting the things of God. And now you've wandered away from the things of God. And some of us, here's the thing. Some of us came to know Christ a year, 10 years ago. You came to know Christ. You gave your life to the Lord. But you've never matured in any way, shape, or form. You don't know more scripture than you did a couple years ago. You don't serve more than you did before. You don't do anything. There's no real change in your life. And the reason for that is because you never found a spiritual rhythm to start growing in your walk with the Lord. And folks, imagine if you were to see a 10-year-old child still wearing diapers. It's an odd thought, right? A 10-year-old wearing diapers. Is that to say there's many in the church that have been 10 years in Christ and still wearing spiritual diapers? In fact, that's why God's word says that some of us, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you, again, the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. You see, if there's no noticeable difference in your life, you haven't really grown in your walk with the Lord and your knowledge of God's word. Perhaps it's because you never found spiritual rhythms in your life and you have developed consistent actions where you have studying God's word, serving the Lord, being active in the things of God. You've never developed a rhythm, so therefore, you're still, by now, you should be leading a small group according to God's word. And some of us are not even in a small group. Now think about that. God's word says, by now, you should be teaching God's word. But some of us are not even in a small group. So folks, the reality is that if you never find a spiritual rhythm in your life, if you don't become active in the things of God, you'll never really mature and grow and experience ultimately the life that God wants for you. Amen? And so listen, there has to be a moment, maybe it's for you right now, he says, you know what, you're right, Omar, man, I'm tired of just being stagnant in my walk with Christ. I know there's so much more, but I just need to get in and into it. I need to really place myself in those places where God could begin to grow and mature me. I want to do that. So listen, so if that's you this year, two quick thoughts for you, right? The first thing is that spiritual rhythms require priority. Priority. Listen, the things of God and pursuing the things of God require priority. You know, if you look at the Gospels, our Lord, it says that Jesus would wake up in the morning and go spend time with the Father as he was accustomed to. If the Son of God prioritized his time with the Father, then shouldn't we follow the example as well? And so if you want to be transformed by God, you have to prioritize in your life the things of God. In other words, it cannot be something that is just down the list, but it always the things of God must be a priority in your life. So for example, you know, on Sunday morning when you wake up as a family, however your family looks like, when you wake up, if you decide to come to church, if there's nothing going on, you know, I guess if the weather's good, there's not sprinkling outside, if, you know, there's nothing going on, then I guess we'll go to church. Listen, that type of mentality is why you are stagnant right now. Because coming to worship the God who saved you should be a priority in your life, right? You know, everything else, anything comes up on a Sunday morning, the weekend, everything is subservient to where you fit it, but you need to go and worship God, amen? When small group comes, listen, it's not in the middle of the week like, oh, well, you know, if I got nothing else to do, if I'm not a little too tired, you know, everything's perfect. If that type of mentality keeps you stagnant in your walk with God, everything, all schedules will always, hey, if your small group is a Tuesday night like mine is, listen, then anything, any schedule, any meetings, it should be fit in order for you to be able to spend time with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so here's what happens. In your life, there has to be a moment that in your calendar, which everyone has a calendar, whether you write one or not, you got to prioritize the things of God in your life, amen? And also, not only should it be a priority, but also write this down on letter B. Spiritual rhythms require sacrifice in your life, which means that there are some things that you may have to give up in order to pursue the things of God. So for example, you may have to give up a couple more minutes of your sleep to wake up a little earlier so that you can sit down and read God's word and hear from God from that day. Let me tell you something. I would rather wake up 15, 20, 30 minutes earlier and start off the day reading God's word than get those 30 minutes of sleep extra, but the whole day you're frustrated because you haven't spent time with God, right? Listen, you, in order to serve the Lord and use the giftings that God has given to you, you may have to miss, for example, on Sunday morning, a few minutes of the Dolphin game, which at the end of the day, they always break your heart, right? And so here's what happens. Some of us, I'm ready for a heartbreak today again, but you know, it is what it is. But here's the thing. Some of us are prioritizing, for example, a dumb game to not serve God, to not do the things of God. It could be anything, really, if you think about it. Listen, in order to be right with God in terms of honoring him with your giving, listen, you might have to give up a few things in your life. Why? In order to be able to honor God the way that you're supposed to with what he's given to you, with your money. But here's what I want to remind you. Whatever it is, your time, your effort, whatever it is that you do, you have to sacrifice a little bit. Listen, God always promises that what you are going to get in return from pursuing the things of God, from being right with God, from knowing God, is much greater than whatever little sacrifice you gave. Amen? Amen. And so listen, because spiritual rhythms in our life, and listen, I'm preaching to myself because I'm a man just like you are. I got to remember the spiritual rhythms are important in my life as well. Because the spiritual rhythm is so important to the Christian life. I want to introduce something to our church today. And it's a brand new curriculum that we're going to introduce today called Rooted. And Rooted is a curriculum that used by many churches across the nation that not only covers the fundamental truth of the Christian faith, but it also enables us to really get into those key rhythms in our Christian walk so that we can grow, mature, and be rooted in Christ. And so I'm going to challenge today all of our small groups at all our campuses to do this rooted curriculum. Because not only is it the best time to do this curriculum with your small group, why we all need to start off the year right, getting in the right rhythms, being reminded of all the key things of the Christian faith, right? But also what I love about this curriculum rooted is that it has a way of helping you really share your story, share your life, and be honest about really what's happening in our lives. Listen, I've been in small groups for many, many years. And let me tell you, it's so easy for people to be in a small group for years and never really know what's happening in someone else's life, like really know what's happening in someone else's life. And so what I love about this rooted curriculum is that not only does it help you share your full story, man, here's how I came to know Christ, here's my story, here's the trajectory of my life, and you learn a lot about people when they start their full story. But at the same time, it helps you to set up in moments in the study to really share what's happening in your life. What are some things that, man, are really concerning you, really burdening you, things that you go to small group thinking about, but you never really talk about, right? So it's really awesome. There's a prayer moment, there's an outreach moment, there's a lot of really cool things. But even for existing small groups, it really helps you grow closer together. And so the idea is that as we move forward, the Rooted will be a curriculum that whenever someone comes to know Christ at our church, or they give their life to Christ, or they come from another church, before they get into regular biblical community in a small group, that they would go through the Rooted curriculum so that they can understand the key things of the Christian faith, get into rhythms, and really start implementing and growing in their walk with the Lord. And so before we introduce this to our church, our staff said, you know what, our leadership team did it and we loved it. Then we said, hey staff, why don't you go ahead, our entire staff, and why don't you all do Rooted together so we can hear from you what you think of this new curriculum. And folks, here is what they thought. Take a look.
Hi, my name is John Moore.
Romina Forero Hart.
Ethan Manuel.
Frank David Galley.
And I serve as the Communications and Marketing Director.
Broadcast Production Director for the Palmetto Bay Campus.
Sea of Kids Director for our Coral Gables and Downtown Campus.
Creative Director here at Christ Fellowship.
I think there's this thing that we do in our Christian walk that we think, you know, God is working all of my things for my good, all of the things that are happening in my life. So what Rooted does, it comes along and it says, oh, it's much bigger than you.
The Christian life was meant to be an adventure that we go on together. And Rooted specifically, I think, creates a really unique and special atmosphere where people are committed to the same thing.
It covers everything from the creation to, I mean, your salvation.
Reaches kind of every level. Went back to the beginning of my faith and reminded me of a lot of things that I probably forgot about.
And then as you work through the 10-week study, you're convicted and you're like, oh, wait a minute. I'm pretty far from this.
And it made me be very vulnerable with people that I thought I knew really well.
How can you do life with someone even though you don't really know them?
They became like a group of friends. When my kid had to go to the hospital for a few days because of a complication with the virus, I was able to just grab my phone, reach out to them, text them, and within minutes, they were praying for my kid. They were there for me.
A safe space for you to have in your Rooted group allows you guys to all come together and come to that realization that it's not just your things that God is working out, it's all things that He's working out.
God is gonna do amazing things through Rooted in your life, in your heart, in your faith.
If you want to go somewhere fast, you go alone, but if you want to go far, you go with the team.
Amen. Pretty awesome, right? And so we're really excited about this curriculum Rooted for our small groups, and I want to encourage you, there's a couple things that I want us to know about this specific study that's kind of unique to it, but I just wanted you to know. First of all, the curriculum Rooted is really a 10-week commitment. sometimes for those of us in small groups, we're used to like, oh, if I go once every month or I'm good. No, if we're gonna do Rooted, part of the commitment, in fact, you sound like a little commitment form in there, I'm gonna be there for 10 weeks. Now, If one day you're really sick or maybe you're traveling, it's fine. You can miss one or two, but it's really not the key. The way to do Rooted is to be together as you go through the whole curriculum because you're hearing everyone's stories and you're growing your walk with the Lord. That's the second thing that I also want to challenge all of us, include especially our existing small groups, is that there needs to be a commitment to really honesty and transparency. You know, what makes this curriculum really, really beautiful is that we get to share our real stories of our life. We get to share the things going on in our lives. So it's not just to go to a small group and just, you know, put a wall and no one can know it. No, it's about really talk about what's happening in your life and your story. So there has to be a commitment to transparency. And then last but not least, there's a small financial commitment. It's $15 for this book. The book is actually, it costs a little more than that. We as a church kind of already subsidized that, but we wanted to put it in a round number for you all. So it's $15 for the book. But it's a hard book. It's a really nice book. It's hard bound. The idea behind the Rooted book is that every single day, five times a week, you there's a few pages you read, one or two pages. You answer some questions, jot some thoughts down. And then when you get to your Rooted group on that following week, then you spend time discussing what you learned, how God worked in your heart that week, and when you learned from the study. It's a really nice book that you can keep and you can always go back and resource it. Now, if for whatever reason you cannot afford the book because of your situation going on, right, don't worry about it. You reach out to us, you sign up. And we will make sure that you get this book in your hands, right? So we never want to let it be that a financial struggle is a barrier for you to be able to do the Rooted curriculum. And so here's what I want to encourage you. If you are already in a small group, okay, you don't need to sign up for today. You're already in a small group. And if your group is going to do it, your small group leader should have texted you already. Or if not, they can do it. They already got it today. A link to be able to purchase the book, and you can just follow that, and then you can get it. But if you are not in a small group, and you feel like, you know what, I need to start the year right, man, I need to get into the gospel community, I need to grow, then listen, today is the perfect time. Man, you can get into one, you can go through this Rooted curriculum, it's going to be a really great story for you, and listen, you can join a men's group, women's group, couples groups, general adults group, you can do whatever group fits you best in your stage of life. But if there's something in you that says, you know what, man, I'm listening today, man, I feel like I really need to start growing my walk with God, then I want to encourage you, get into gospel community and start doing the Rooted curriculum. It's going to be a blessing to your life, all right? And so here's what I'm going to do. Before, I want to have a time of prayer, and then we're going to worship, and then we will go. But if you don't mind, go ahead and pull out, all of us at all campus, go ahead and pull out your phones. If you don't mind, go ahead and pull out your phones for just a moment. And some people are going to sign up right now, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask all of us, even if you're part of a small group already, just go ahead and take out your phone. I can see you at all campuses. Come on, I see you. Come on. Take out your phone. I know you've been looking at Instagram while my teaching. I see some of you out there. I see you. You don't think I can see you out there? I have cameras in the campuses. But anyway, so just take out and scan that code right behind me. You'll see a little yellow link. Go fill that out, and they'll take you to a main webpage with more information. Which, by the way, if you are already in a small group, you don't need to fill out this form. I just did it so that some people don't feel by themselves. But if you're not in a small group, fill out this form, and someone in our team is going to follow up with you now, right? I'm going to give you a few moments for those of us who want to sign up for right now, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then we'll worship and go, right? So take a few moments. If you feel like prompted, fill that form out in that link, and then someone will follow up with you, right? I'm gonna give you a few minutes now. If you are a small group leader, this is a great time to send that link that you received this morning with the link to buy the book to your small group leader, to your small group members as well, right? Which, by the way, in that link, you can also find the link to buy the book if you're interested. And so as you guys are finished filling that out, on your way out, if you want more information about Rooted, on the way out, there is a Connect to God. Today's our weekend to connect to others weekend, our small group weekend. There's small group teams there can answer questions before you sign up. You can stop by there and you can sign up and you can ask more questions, right? Well, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna ask it all campus, go ahead and stand up with me right now. And I wanna pray for us that this year will be a year that really that all of us individually and collectively will mature in a walk with Christ, amen? And so listen, if you're with your spouse, go ahead and grab their hand right now. Let's pray for a commitment for this year for God to work in a beautiful way. Let me pray for us and then we'll worship. Father, Lord, we are so grateful, Lord, that you've given us all the tools in order to mature in your walk, in our walk with you. So Father, as we start this year, Father, we are committing ourselves right now for this year to be the year that we will grow closer in our walk with you, Lord. And Father, my prayer is for all of us individually and collectively as a church that by the end of 2024, that we would be even a church that reflects your Son more and more. So Father, bless us and lead us as we go. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.